The art patrons during the Renaissance in particular were a primary force in the art that was being created. They were a primary force and a driver into telling the artist what to do. They dictated a lot about the cost of materials. They would say to them, you know, I want this in bronze, or I want this painted, or they would dictate to the artist what they exactly wanted. Hi, this is Anita from 5 Minutes with Art and from the blog Anita Louise Art. Today I want to talk a little bit about art patrons, and in particular about art patrons during the Renaissance. You know, a lot of times when we talk about art, we only talk about the artist, we talk about what the artist's done, what the artist accomplished, but rarely do we talk about the person who really made that art possible, which would be the art patron, the person who was paying for it. And a lot of times we forget the influence that this person had upon the art itself. You know, and this was particularly true in the art patrons during the Renaissance era. You know, this was a powerful time, and it was also a great time in a way to be a great artist because you got a lot of commissions. But yet the art patrons that were paying for the art had a say in basically what you were going to paint. And there were a lot of reasons why, like, somebody would maybe give money to an artist. Like, why would they give money to one of these Renaissance artists? And a couple of reasons would be, like, one could be personal satisfaction. Maybe they just, you know, felt good and they want to have a piece of art. They want to have it hang in their house. You know, more than likely, it was like that they wanted to be able to, you know, kind of do a little bit like ancient Rome did. During ancient Rome, there was a lot of art commissions going on, and they wanted to leave their legacy. They wanted, you know, people to know and people to remember them. And the other one was that, you know, it was kind of became their own personal brand. Today, we talk a lot about our personal brands. You know, what does our personal brand mean on social media? Well, these guys were just as concerned about their personal brand, because they were really, like, they were out there and they wanted people to come to their house and say, here's this beautiful picture of me and I'm in this wonderful place. And, you know, so these pictures would be filled with symbolism of things that they wanted people to know about them. It also, you know, told people that they were the aspiring middle class, that they had some wealth, that they had the ability to actually commission art, you know, that they had the ability for someone to actually paint the picture of them or paint the painting of them or do a statue of them or whatever else was they had done or they had accomplished. The other one would, reason would be like religious legacy, that the patrons, you know, they paid for the art. They considered that they were, you know, kind of holier and they were important and they were religious. And so they commissioned an art that had something to do about religion. And that they, you know, would, you know, they would really tell the artist, you know, here's what I want you to do. You know, wasn't the artist a lot of times telling the patron, the art patrons, here's what I'm going to do. It was really the other way around. And it would be the art patron telling the artist, here's what I want you to do. And probably they had a lot of say in it too. After all, you got to remember, these are the guys that are paying for it. So they probably, you know, checked up on it and said, nah, I want you to change this a little bit or do this or do that. So they probably had some say in it and were collaborating together with the artist on these works of arts. Other ones, they considered that it was maybe their civic duty, that they felt it was, you know, this was an important civic or community thing for them to do. Maybe they were wealthy people of during the time, so they felt like, you know, I'm going to help out the community. This is my civic duty to do it. And others, they wanted to leave a legacy. They wanted to have some kind of lasting legacy for people to remember them by. You know, the art patrons during the Renaissance in particular were a primary force in the art that was being created. They were a primary force and a driver into telling the artist what to do. They dictated a lot about the cost of materials. They would say to them, you know, I want this in bronze, or I want this painted, or they would dictate to the artist what they exactly wanted. You know, I want it in marble. It wasn't really the artist so much dictating that as much as it would have been the art patron would have been telling them, you know, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I'm going to afford. Here's what I'm going to pay for. There are basically, during the Renaissance, there were two types of patronages that were going on. One was the public patronage. You know, this would have been a work of art that would have been displayed outside of a home for a broad public audience. you know, this would have been, you know, something like the Statue of David that Michelangelo did, that it would have been for a broad public audience, for everyone, you know, to be able to see, or, you know, for people to be able to see, that it was kind of in a public space. The other kind, which is actually would be a lot more common, would be a public, the private from the public patronage would be the private patronage. And this would be where somebody would have somebody do art for them. And this piece of art would pretty much stay in their home, or, you know, in their, and it would, you know, be, you know, just private. And, you know, they maybe had it on display when people came to visit, they could show them this work of art, but it would be, you know, might even be in a semi-public place, but it would pretty much was done for private. And there were really two types of art patronages too. And one of them was religious and the other was secular. And religious, you know, would include, would be for, you know, for both public and private areas. And it could be, you know, something that usually had a Christianity theme to it. And it, you know, because this Christianity dominated Europe throughout this time. The other kind could be more secular, and it could be specifically non-religious. And this could be portraits, scenes from history, or other things that they would ask the artist to do. You know, so when we look at the relationship between the patrons and the artist, you know, we many times only think about the artist, but we always forget about the money that was behind that art. And that money that was behind that art was in many cases just as important as the artists themselves. This is Anita from 5 Minutes with Art. You hope you've enjoyed our podcast and that you'll like us, subscribe, tell your friends about us. We'd love to have you become part of our community. Thank you so much for listening.